Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Matthew 17 and other New Testament passages describe what occurred on the Mount of Transfiguration. The noun transfiguration does not appear in any of the accounts of our Lord's transfiguration, but the verb form is used both in Matthew and in Mark. The Greek word rendered transfigured comes into English in our word metamorphosis, which means change of physical form, structure, and substance. Most of you probably remember the metamorphosis of an egg into a butterfly. Incidentally, the word is used of a radical change which we make from being slaves to Satan to being slaves in the kingdom of heaven. Paul used the word when he wrote to the Romans, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Romans 12:2. The Apostle Peter denied that the early Christians had followed cleverly invented fables or myths, but were eyewitnesses of Christ's majesty. 2 Peter 1:15. He then added, "For he, that is Christ, received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." 2 Peter 1:16. The events on the Mount of Transfiguration can be briefly summarized as follows. Jesus knew the time had come for some radical changes in his life and in his appearance. He took with him Peter, James, and John and brought them into a high mountain. He was transfigured or transformed before them. His face shone as the sun, and his raiment was as white as the light. While he was on the mountain, Moses and Elijah appeared talking with him about his coming death. Peter became excited and exclaimed, "Lord, it is good for me to be here. If thou wilt, let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While Peter was speaking, a cloud overshadowed Moses and Elijah and left Christ standing alone. Then there was a voice from heaven which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Matthew 17:1-5. Peter affirmed in 2 Peter 1:17 that he and the others were there. They actually saw and heard what was taking place. He also says that Jesus received from God the Father honor and glory. The events of that day were designed to show that men are no longer to hear Moses and the prophets. They are to hear Jesus Christ. The book of Hebrews emphasizes the same fundamental truth. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Hebrews 1:1-2. While Peter, James, and John watched and heard what was occurring on the mount, God the Father spoke from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Matthew, Mark, and Luke record one additional statement. Hear him. God was telling the apostles and subsequent generations, "If you want to know my will, if you want to be saved from your sins and have the promise of eternal life, you must hear my Son." Churches and theologians are not free to add to nor to take from what God has revealed through Jesus Christ. His word must guide us in all our work and worship. What Jesus taught will confront us in the day of judgment. Can you see how very vital it is to learn what Jesus taught and to follow his word? My friends, we thank you for listening. May God continue to bless and keep you.